Well, as I had mentioned during the last segment, we do have sitting in studio with us the one and only State Senator Randy Baumgartner, who is running for the United States Senate. So, Senator Baumgartner, welcome to Grassroots Radio.
Well, thank you for the invitation to be here.
And let me.
We invited you. We actually did that.
Well, no, I kind of muscled my way in here, but there was a door open.
There's nothing wrong with that. Tell it first off. What's your Senate district?
Senate District 8, that is seven counties in northwest Colorado, which include Grand, Jackson, Rout, Moffitt, Rio Blanco, Garfield, and Summit County.
You actually include Summit County?
Summit County. About a quarter of the state, actually.
Wow. That's a big – between you and Greg Brophy, you pretty much got the whole state covered.
Yeah.
Except for Denver, which is where all the problems are coming from.
Most of the problems do come from Denver. So tell us, you know, you decided to run for Senate. What made you decide to do that?
The reason that I got into this race was I got very upset with the people that are in there now that's not representing Colorado. You know, you're supposed to – or the electorate elect people to send back to Washington to take their concerns – about the state to Washington, D.C., not bring Washington, D.C.'s ideas to the state and try to implement them here at this level. And that's what's been happening at both United States Senator that's in there now at that level. So without having that representation there, I decided to get into the race because I've always represented the people in my district and hopefully can represent the majority of the people state of Colorado back in Washington at the United States Senate.
Well, let's hit something that happened in the United States Senate today. Every single Democrat, and I believe it's something like 13. Okay, 13 Republicans. Is it 12 or 13? You're right.
Yeah, I think 13. It's 13.
12 or 13 Republicans voted for this budget deal. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll tell you, I believe that we need a federal budget through a balanced budget amendment or something like that. And I don't know if they're just not working hard enough or they're concerned more about trying to get themselves reelected or what to try to make those deals to get themselves back. I don't believe that we should be raising the debt ceiling. I don't think that we should be prolonging. I think it's – I call it the madness – we need to end the madness by raising this debt ceiling and continuing this budget that's just out of control. We're going to have to rein it in because the people, my great-great-grandchildren, are going to be paying this budget debt. And
well, now keep going. Okay. I point to myself. That means I'm going to ask a question.
He gets next.
That means I'm going to ask a question next. Okay. So keep going and finish your statement.
So I would definitely not be in favor of extending that. I think that we need, you know, the federal government needs to live by the same rules and regulations that you as an individual have to live by. You've got a budget that you can only have so much money, and you can't go outside that budget unless you want to mortgage everything you've got. What they've done to this country is mortgage and over-mortgaged every asset that we've got. I mean, if anybody ever calls, if these countries ever start calling the debt that we owe them, we're sunk. We're basically sunk.
Well, Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican Alabama today, who's a ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee,
who, by the way, was pushed out of the Senate of the budget negotiations.
Oh, I know. They kicked him out because he actually has a brain. He has discovered and he has uncovered some double accounting practices that have gone on in this budget deal. This is in Breitbart today. I don't know if you saw that. I
haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah. And so they have found, in essence, they're counting the same dollar twice when they're talking about spending cuts. And what this budget deal, in effect, does is it raises spending, cuts the sequester, cuts pensions from our veterans. I mean, really,
one thing
that's...
they're actually constitutionally supposed to be spending money on.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing that kills me. I mean, the Pentagon has got so much pork and so much waste in it, yet they cut the pensions from the soldiers themselves. That is abominable.
Well, and I agree. I've talked to a lot of the veterans. In fact, I have a relation that is involved in the military right now. I have a brother-in-law that is a retired lieutenant colonel that those benefits are being cut constantly. You know, these people laid their life on the line for this country, or served abroad, or served in the military, with the understanding that, you know what, we're going to take care of you because you laid your life on the line for this country, and we continually slap them down at every turn, taking money away from them, taking benefits away from them. And that's one of the things that, you know, to secure peace, you have to prepare for war. I honestly believe that. If you're going to be a nation that is going to continue to stay strong, you have to have a strong military. Is there pork in the military? Absolutely. Is there pork in everything? Yeah, there's pork in everything out there. But we have got to maintain a strong military to keep this nation safe. And what's happening is we continue to cut and cut and cut. And one of the things that I wanted to just touch on briefly is, who's building our planes? Who's building components for our missiles? A lot of that's out of this country. A lot of those industries are outside the United States, and we need to bring those jobs back here, not only for security reasons, but for our economy, to bolster our economy and get it growing again, because we don't need to be supporting a third world country or supporting another country building our aircraft, building our aircraft carrier.
You mean like when the union sued Boeing for trying to open a plant in South Carolina that they had spent $3 billion building? Little things like that?
And hold on, I may have to correct something factually. I'm pretty sure, just because I'm in the steel industry, they don't make anything out of the country for federal purposes as far as military. Because there's you might know of something. You may know of, I just wanted to make sure, because I know we have, who I sell steel to and what they can export and what they can import is so tightly clamped down. But I don't necessarily disagree that some of these things, some of these companies are getting sweetheart deals to push stuff off, and they actually get tax breaks for pushing stuff off. Now, that's baloney. That's corporate welfare.
Right. Well, and maybe I might have misspoke just a little bit, but I do have and would like to come back at another time with the facts of what I'm telling you about right now, because there are some things that are being made outsourced that probably shouldn't be made outsourced.
If it's U.S. if it's U.S. military involved, it damn well better not be outsourced, because I'm pretty sure there's a ITAR. There's ITAR import and export laws that are really, really tight on that.
And we would never break any of those laws.
Yeah. When we come back, one of the things, I'm just looking at some of the key issues of your campaign. And one of the things you're talking about is beetle kill. And I don't think it's actually amazing. We haven't hardly talked about this.
I don't think we have.
We've talked about it occasionally, but you have a unique perspective. I've been to Grand County. I've been up to Grand Lake Golf Course. I used to play there where you were on one hole and you couldn't see any other hole on the golf course. Now you can be on one hole and you can see everything on the course. Mm-hmm. I want to talk with you about some of the stuff that has to do with that beetle kill, because I think people are not looking at one of the biggest dangers in the state of Colorado coming up in the next few years. Is today the color black day, Charlie? Back in black, Black Betty. I'm just curious.
Jumped all over me. Just stepped all over me.
I did. But I'll let you do the intro. I was just asking.
Is that because I did that yesterday?
I knew it.
That's because I did that yesterday. That was so much fun. We have in studio with us Senator Randy Baumgartner, who is running for the United States Senate. And so, Jason, you had some interesting – he's got something on his website about beetle kill.
When you go look at some of the key issues of the campaign, it says includes but are not limited to water rights, big here in Colorado, civil liberties. I think a judge just helped our side on that just a little bit. Beetle kill is number three. And that's you're in a unique position because the counties you cover are highly, highly affected. I was telling the story before the break. Yep. I played golf at – I believe it's Grand Lake Golf Course.
Yep.
And there were holes where literally you're standing on the tee box. You can't see anything but the hole in front of you. You go up there now and it looks like a really hilly course in Denver because it's everything. I mean, there's no trees. They had to pull them all out because the beetle kill was so bad.
Yep.
That's a major issue. And it's a federal issue for the most part because, well, in Grand Lake, you've got Rocky Mountain National Forest.
Yep.
They won't let you go in and mitigate that fire danger whatsoever.
That's true. And that was one of the huge issues, and still is a huge issue at this time, is the forest health. There was a piece of legislation here a couple of years ago that touched on forest health that really and I voted against it, and I'll kind of tell you why, is that if you had beetle kill timber on your property, your private property, you wanted the government to come in and take care of that for you. And I said, well, that's really not the government's place to take care of your property. That's up to you to do that. Now, on state land, on federal land, absolutely, those need to be addressed. There was a time I was on a tour with a bunch of people on Water Resource Review Committee, and we were looking at all the beetle and beetle kill timber. And the senator that's serving in there right now, one of his staff was there, and I started talking about the dead trees and what we were going to do with it. I said, so what are we going to do about the wilderness areas? Because you can't go in there because you might disturb something. So you have two choices here. You either do, you know, timber mitigation and go in and take that, or you let it burn. So, and as you've seen the last couple of years, we've had some major, major fires. And it's not a matter of if that beetle kill will ever burn. It's a matter of when it's going to burn. And that's one of the things that we really have to look at is if it's federal land, if it's state land, that mitigation needs to be done by the federal government, by the state government, whatever, in order to control that. Years ago, about 40 years ago, when the timber industry, and I don't know if anybody ever remembers what the timber industry really looked like. That was people that actually went in and cut the trees and made a profit off of them.
I remember I'm afraid to death of timber trucks coming down the road. But
yeah. But timber is a crop. I mean, it is.
It is.
It can
is
be
crop.
Managed that way.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a couple of places in Grand County that actually put in pellet plants, one in Kremling and one in Walden, that was going to address a lot of the beetle kill issue, but the amount of timber that was being harvested just couldn't be processed. And the need for the pellets, and of course now with all the air quality stuff, I'm not even sure where that's even going to.
You can still get pellet stoves, but they're not that. They're a lot less. You got to go up to Montana and Wyoming, and they have a lot of them, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, one of the things I heard, when we're talking about this forest mitigation, and I heard there was a forester who was talking about the health of the forest. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we have so much beetle kill is because the trees are growing so closely together. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big problems. You've got to think about this. When the settlers came across the Oregon Trail, they were taking wagons through the forest. And yes, they were having to cut down an occasional tree, but not today. Take a broomstick. Go up into any of these wilderness areas, take a broomstick, put it across your shoulders, and try walking 50 yards. You won't get anywhere. We don't have healthy forests. And it's the federal government taking the name, this is federal property, but not the responsibility for upkeeping that property. It's the tragedy of the commons.
Well, you know, and here's another issue, too, is those lands, those federal lands, were supposed to be relegated back to the states in a certain reasonable amount of time, basically, is what they talk about. Well, it's been after the state became a state, and it's been over 140 years, and we still don't have control of those federal lands, which I believe that, you know, we've looked at how the federal government is managing not only the forest and the BLM and the wilderness areas and trying to put in monuments and tie them together to where you can't go in there at all because you might hurt something. I believe that people in Washington are making policy for us that A, has either never stepped here. And, you know, I'm a conservationist. I'm not an environmentalist because I raise cattle. I'm connected to the land. If I destroy that water, if I destroy that timber, I'm out of business. But to go in and just shut an entire area down and say, you know what, you can't go there anymore because you might impact this. Well, that's supposed to be public land. You've got the right to go on there. But they continue to expand these and expand these. And, in fact, down in Browns Canyon right now, they're looking at one right now that senator is pushing really hard to shut all that down, combine them together and shut that down.
Well, that's what happens when you have Maggie Fox as the de facto environmentalist in senator here in Colorado.
Well, that is very true.
When you have a radical environmentalist who's married to the current sitting senator,
yeah, Senator,
you're going to be terribly surprised when that kind of crap happens.
All right, gentlemen, I want to change the subject now. As you know, Senator, we rely at Grassroots Radio Colorado, we rely very, very heavily on the rankings and the analysis that we get from Principles of Liberty. Here it comes.
That's okay.
Okay, yeah, oh no.
You told me.
And here, this is, we believe in what the principles are of Principles of Liberty. We live them. We are part of those. And so we run with their analysis all the time. And in my opinion, they do a fantastic job. So your ranking in Principles of Liberty, you got a D+. Okay. One of your primary competitors, Owen Hill, scored a little bit better than you. You scored 66. He scored 69. Neither one of those are good. You got a D+. And then Representative Amy Stevens scored worse than both of you. Okay, now if you compare them straight across the board, and you really can't, it's not fair to compare the Senate rankings to the House rankings because there are differences, and the difference is that consent calendar. However, you're fourth from the bottom, Senator. I mean, you've got Roberts, Crowder, King, then Baumgartner, and, you know, you're five away from being a Democrat. Why would the Liberty people want to support you in your campaign?
Well, I'll tell you. I am a conservative, and maybe that, you know, doesn't always reflect. One of the things that you find there, and I guess it comes down to what your word's worth, what you're made out of, because there were things that I didn't felt like that I voted any different in the Senate than I did in the House, okay? And my rankings were very good in the House. In fact, I had a 92 or 93% in the House. In fact, was top on Principles of Liberty when I served in the House of Representatives.
You know, I'm going back to, back to 2012.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were ranked number one.
Yes.
By Principles of Liberty. You got an A+ ranking with a 94% in 2012.
And I don't, and that's what, and I've had conversations with Principles of Liberty that, first of all, maybe it was the consent calendar because they.
Well, but everybody voted on the consent calendar.
They did. They did. Okay. But consent, the Principles of Liberty said that everybody's numbers were 10 to 15% lower than they normally were. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. But the only thing that I can say is that when you give your word, and there was a couple of bills that changed, and I went to the senator and I said, look, this is not what I bought into. Can I get out of this? And they said, no, you said you'd be on with me. So if your word means anything, you stick to that. And that's where I am. If that's what they want to judge me on, that's fine. But I own what I vote, and I'll talk about anything that they want to talk to me about. So
that is an amazing difference from one year to the next.
I know that. Yeah, I know.
Well, and if there is a 15-point swing, which I think.
Well, no, but here's what I'm trying to do.
You'd go from a 92 to a.
But everybody in the Senate is judged the same way.
Right, okay, but add 15 points.
No, let me rephrase my question. Everybody in the Senate is judged the same way. So you've got Lundberg number one, Baumgartner
number
12.
What was his ranking?
B-, 80%. And Randy's got a 66, so you're talking about a 14-point swing.
Right, but if there's a 15, okay.
No.
I know. If you're comparing apples to apples, it's the Senate that makes it a little bit more of a B, if that's the case. If there's some statistical anomaly, both Randy Baumgartner and Senator Hill are low Bs.
Well,
high Ds.
The point is, though, that you've got Senator Lundberg being judged the exact same way.
Right.
At an 80.
Yes.
Right. My point is, Senator Lundberg's number one, Senator Baumgartner's number 12, with everything being equal.
Right.
All right. Now, if you go back to 2012, you were top of the heap.
Yeah.
That is an anomaly. I need to figure that out.
Well, and I do too. And that was the conversations that I had with Principles of Liberty, is because I said, I didn't feel like I voted any different than I did when I was in the House.
Well, and let's
so
get,
I don't know.
We'll get some answers on this. Let's get, first off, tell everybody where they can find you. I need you to wrap up.
Okay.
Because we got that 6 o'clock call right. coming.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show. You can go to info@Baumgardner for U.S. Senate, which is the website.com, which is the, or is the email, www.RandyBaumgardnerForUSSenate.com. We'll get you to the website.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, randybaumgardner.com here.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you. This is going to be – well, we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm still shaking my head.
we'll figure it out.
And when Rich Broughton came to me and said, Randy, what's going on? And I said, Rich, I don't know. So we had those conversations, and, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wish I had an answer. But the only thing that I can come up with is that there was a couple of votes that I had given my word on to other senators that changed. And if they won't let you out of that, you have integrity and your word. That's all you've got down there. And if you lose that, and if they say, well, you didn't do as well, you know what? Maybe I can strive to do a little better. To not give my word to those people as easily. But I try to look at things, but as they change, again, if they say, no, you can't be out of, I'm not going to let you out of your commitment to me, then if as a person, as someone that stands up and says, I gave my word, I'm going to stick to it. Thanks, guys.
When we come,
we'll hear more from Randy Baumgardner
as
this goes, the primary's going on.
And when we come back, we're going to have a very interesting story to tell.